In the Old Testament, God told his people, don't put your trust in princes. How does that apply to us today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have we put too much trust in the political system? Have we put too much trust in a president or a leader? Is this inappropriate for followers of Jesus? We are back to that important question today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And a question for each of you. The vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine. Once it's available to you, do you plan on taking it? Do you plan on taking the vaccine? Or do you say, well, I just have concerns. I don't know if it's safe. Or no way, I'm not going with this. I think this whole thing has been a plan from the start and trying to get our information, or I'm afraid of some chip in the vaccine that's going to be able to monitor me. Or will you take the vaccine? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I want to lay out something for you. If you've heard me over the weeks, over the months, say Donald Trump is not my savior, we have only one Messiah, there's a point that I've been trying to make to the world, all right, not just to believers, but to the watching world, and say, look, my emphasis, and as followers of Jesus, our emphasis is on the Lord Jesus, not on a man, not on a political system in this world, but in the Lord himself. He died for our sins. We owe him our life. Our heart, our soul, our adoration is his. We get on our knees and we worship God. We worship the Lord. We don't get on our knees and worship Donald Trump. None of us do. We understand that. None of you have an altar in your home, if you're a true follower of Jesus, with a statue of Donald Trump and you get down on your face and you worship in front of it. Obviously. But it's important that we proclaim to the world who our Savior and Lord and Master and Redeemer is, and the one that we look to, and that everyone understands that message. All right, I've also talked about the idolatry that we can have towards Donald Trump, or looking to him too much. And perhaps the way I phrase things has unnecessarily offended certain people, or you said, none of us idolize him. So I've been praying that God would help me to do a better job of conveying the point that I'm seeking to make. But I want to take you back through history and give you a little bit more perspective in terms of an emphasis I've had. The Old Testament a couple of times tells us, don't put your trust in princes. In other words, don't put your trust in earthly leaders. One reason that God was reluctant to give Israel a king was because he knew that they would look to him rather than to God. They would look to the king, to the earthly ruler, rather to the Lord. And one guaranteed thing about an earthly ruler is one way or another, they're going to fail. One way or another, they're going to fall short. I don't care if it's a pastor. I don't care if it's a pope. I don't care if it's a president. We got three P's there, right? Whoever it is, an earthly leader, one way or another, is going to fail or fall short or not be perfect, one way or another. But for those of you that think, well, I'm picking on Donald Trump, no, that's not the case. So let's go back through history. I went back and looked at some of my articles. How about this? Don't put your trust in a political savior. Check out this article I wrote. Don't put your trust in a political savior. See, there you go with Trump again. No, this was posted September 29th, 2011. Hear that? September 29th, 2011. Don't put your trust in a political savior on Town Hall. I only started writing political, cultural op-eds around the year 2010 and only really started to comment more on this on the air when I went on radio full-time, 5 days a week in 2008, all right? So this is not something that 30 years ago I was preaching when I was not even talking about political things hardly at all. But once God had me start addressing them, this has been a consistent theme, urging people not to put our trust in man. So just take a look at what I wrote in 2011. during the presidency of Barack Obama. Here's what I said. It was November 1976. I was very excited by the election results. Our new president was a born-again Christian. Having become born again myself at the age of 16, late in 1971, this was the first election where the religious beliefs of a candidate really caught my attention. And Jimmy Carter's open Christian faith helped put the born again term on the national map. 4 years later, he was quite literally swept out of office by Ronald Reagan, the darling of the religious right. Reverend Jerry Falwell, leader of the Moral Majority, which was founded in 1979, had famously declared, quote, "We have a threefold primary responsibility. Number one, get people saved. Number two, get them baptized. Number three, get them registered to vote." And although Reagan was not known as a deeply religious man, he was a strong conservative and a consistent opponent of abortion. As one report observed, for the Moral Majority, Ronald Reagan was a modern-day prophet whose rhetoric on family values, school choice, muscular patriotism, and personal morality echoed their own view. Both Reagan and the Moral Majority saw American culture as a cesspool filled with sludge by 60s-era hippies, immoral Hollywood directors, civil rights radicals, abortion-loving feminists, the media, and liberals. 8 years later, despite the many good intentions of the Moral Majority, despite the clear voice Reagan provided on a number of important moral issues, including abortion, and despite some of the very positive things Reagan accomplished nationally and internationally, America was still stuck in a deep moral quagmire, and the abortion industry continued almost unabated. In fact, according to the Alan Guttmacher Institute, there are at least 1.5 million abortions every year from 1980 to 1988, the years of the Reagan presidency, showing increase rather than decrease. All right, so enough from that article. That was 2011. So what I was saying back then was, I was looking at Jimmy Carter, born-again president, 1970. Wow, Jimmy Carter openly born-again. And I'm not despising the man or disparaging his faith. What I'm saying is I just, in my naivete, thought, this is going to be amazing, born-again Christian. And then, in many ways, his presidency was not a good, strong presidency. Some would say a disaster. Now Ronald Reagan comes in, even though not deeply religious himself, perhaps a new Christian, all right, but absolutely espousing many Christian values, does a lot of good. But 8 years later, we still are having a lot of the same big problems. In other words, there's only so much that the president can do, especially so much turning the nation in a good direction. Okay, so now let's fast forward to 2012, all right? 2012. Here's an article I wrote June 22nd, 2012. Mitt Romney is not the answer. Mitt Romney is not the answer. That was 2012. But my point is, friends, I've been consistent in sharing this message. So here's what I wrote back in 2012. If the elections were held today, I would vote for Mitt Romney rather than sit out the elections or cast a protest vote for a third party candidate. But I would do so with extremely limited hopes. And my very active voting in November would be a reminder to me that I cannot expect the radical changes America needs to come from the White House. The fact is that I'm a follower of Jesus more than I'm a conservative. My strongly conservative moral values are the direct result of my faith. And though I have voted for the Republican presidential candidate for many years now, I'm not a registered Republican, nor do I identify as a Republican, as in us versus them. And while I recognize the great importance of the political process, I'm convinced that the frenzied state we get into every 4 years is the result of placing too much blame on the person we're voting against and too much expectation in the person we're voting for. Friends, this is 2012. Has Barack Obama done extremely serious damage to our nation? Without a doubt, he has. And my vote in November will be a vote against President Obama more than a vote for Governor Romney. Although I'd be thrilled to have my serious misgivings about Romney proven wrong, just as I would have been thrilled to have my much more serious misgivings about Obama proven wrong since 2008. But we must remember, this was me in 2012, that Obama is not the reason more Americans were killed so far this year in Chicago than in Afghanistan. Nor is he the reason that we're drowning in a self-made pool of narcissism, materialism, and greed. Nor is he the reason that our educational system continues to limp and falter. Nor is he the reason that we read of more gruesome violent crimes by the day. Nor is he the reason that there are now more Americans in jail than there were in Stalin's Gulag Archipelago. Nor is he the reason that there is an ongoing exodus of young people from our churches, just to mention a few serious concerns out of hundreds that could be listed. Okay, enough from that article. You get the point. I was saying, don't put your trust in a political savior in the days of Barack Obama. I was saying Mitt Romney is not the answer when he was the potential candidate. That has been a steady message. Now, you say, what about Donald Trump? Right. So I draw your attention to my book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior, 2018 book, right? October 2018. Donald Trump is Not My Savior. An evangelical leader speaks his mind about the man he supports as president. So if you have this book, you know that it starts off with new material, an opening chapter asking if our relationship with Trump as evangelicals is a match made in heaven or a marriage with hell. And then I took about my 100 most relevant articles, beginning with the first section, hotly, strongly opposing Trump in the primaries. And then the second section is now standing with him as the Republican candidate. And then the third section is ups and downs with President Trump for the first 2 years. Okay, as a Trump supporter and Trump voter, want to proclaim to the whole world, he's not my savior, he didn't die for my sins, and make sure that that was the first message that was heard. So let me just look with you really quickly in the table of contents, okay? And we'll start, let's see, May 30th, 2016. If Obama was not the political savior, neither is Trump, all right? May 30th, 2016. Then June 30th, 2016. Let's slide down. I think it's to 2017. June 30th of 2017. And let me grab that here. June 30th, 2017. Find it in my book. There we go. No, that's January. Let's go down to June. June 30th of 2017. Don't sell your soul in defense of Donald Trump. Okay, this is especially the evangelical leaders. And then October 16th of 2017, have evangelical leaders become disciples of Donald Trump. Then January 13th, 2018, as evangelicals, our ultimate allegiance is to the Lord, not the president. January 27th, Donald Trump did not die for my sins. August 11th of 2018, again, the same message, some candid questions for evangelical supporters of President Trump. And then, how about this? This was June 29th of this year, 2020. Christ, not Trump, is the solid rock on which we stand. And then November 29th of this year, Christian friends, remember, there's only one Messiah. My point is, friends, I've been getting out the same message all these years. It's not about Trump. It's about us and the Lord. I hope that's clear.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Phone lines are wide open. You can give me your feedback, differ with what I'm saying, agree with what I'm saying, probe what I'm saying. Also, if you have any other question, any Bible theology-related subject that you want to press me on, by all means, give us a call. And a question about whether you plan to take the vaccine. What if it was required? What if the government said that every American must take this vaccine? Would that give you reason not to because of the authoritarianism behind it? Would your main hesitation be a question about safety? What if your employer said, hey, this is not government, this is just our regulation here in our restaurant or in our store. If you work here, you have to get the vaccine. Or if you're going to fly, you have to be vaccinated. Would you do it under those circumstances? Or would you, of course, do it the first moment you have because you think it's a good, safe thing to do? 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Okay, I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. As we've been talking about Christian nationalism, remember, we're not talking about just being a good patriot or serving in the military or being a Christian who loves and appreciates America. But rather, to be a Christian nationalist, as we and many others are using the term, is to conflate America with the kingdom of God, to conflate the success of America with the advance of the kingdom of God, to see America not just as another nation in the world, but rather as one with unique gospel purposes so weaved in that America's destiny is a Bible destiny in that regard. In other words, that just as the Bible has promised the kingdom of God would advance through the earth, and so also America has this particular destiny tied in with it. This is where we raise concerns. This is where I agreed with the Beth Moore tweet warning against Trumpism and Christian nationalism. Now, the fact is you can be a Trump voter and a patriot and a Christian and not be guilty of Trumpism, not look to him in an idolatrous way, and not be a Christian nationalist. Let me say that again. You can be a Christian. You can be a patriot. You can serve in the military. You can vote for Trump without being a Christian nationalist, without being a Trumpist. But if you see the success of Donald Trump as fundamental and intrinsic to the success of the kingdom of God, in other words, that if he is not reelected, that the kingdom of God takes a major blow, that becomes problematic, to say the least. If you say he's the only man that can save the nation or the free world, that's when I say you're putting too much hope in a person, especially a person as fleshly in many ways as Trump can be. If you see America more as an expression of the kingdom of God than of the world, and you merge these identities, in other words, God bless America is virtually equal to thy kingdom come, then that's dangerous. Now, it's very easy for us to fall into that here in America because there are so many Christian roots in our foundations, because there are so many good principles on which the nation was birthed, and because the earliest settlers coming over here, the pioneers, had such a Christian mindset, obviously not perfectly Christian, otherwise we never would have had slavery, obviously. But so many ideals and the Mayflower Compact and wanting America to be a city on a hill that you could easily think, oh, America's different. No, America is part of the world. Here, if I ask you this question, is America part of the kingdom of God or part of the world? Well, as the nation as a whole, I have to say part of the world, right? But as far as a real answer to that, it would be, well, the believers within America, they're part of the kingdom of God, and the non-believers are of the world, right? And America, like every other nation on the planet, is going to have believers and non-believers, okay? But there is no nation on the planet that represents the kingdom of God. There are believers in every nation that represent the kingdom of God. So there are important distinctions to make. And maybe you feel that the fate of the nation really is hanging in the balance, which I understand. I do understand that. And you say, okay, look, if the Democrats get in, not that every Democrat is a terrible, evil person, but if the Democrats fully get in, win the two last seats in Georgia, and Biden's inaugurated January 20th, that you know what they're going to do? They're going to open the borders wide, and all kinds of immigrants are going to come in that don't have legal right to be here. They're going to come in. They're going to become citizens. They're going to vote Democrat. And then they're going to restructure things so D.C. will become a state. And now that'll affect the Electoral College because that's just totally Democratic. And then the Supreme Court will be packed. Just add on more justices so you end up with a totally liberal Supreme Court. And that's it. Once that happens, you can't fix it. You can't write it. You can't correct it in the next election. And then you have the mobocracy in the streets and the cancel culture and Marxism. I understand the concerns. In other words, this is not just crazy conspiracy theory, Chicken Little saying the sky's falling. I understand valid concerns with this. And then the two big words, but God. That God's kingdom might advance better in a setting like that, where the left gives full expression to its leftness, okay? And now things get really difficult and even calamitous and freedoms really attacked. It could be that's what it takes for the church to wake up, to stop putting trust in government or person, and to really go after God like we never did, and to start to speak up and speak out. So if you censor us, if you banish us, if you imprison us, We're going to speak out. What did Tertullian say centuries ago? That the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. It could be the resistance, the opposition, which I'm not looking for and don't want. Our grandkids are all between 14 and 19. Don't want them to be raising their kids in an America that doesn't have freedoms. No, I'm jealous for our freedoms. Absolutely. No, I don't want it to be that someone I teach in ministry school today, when they start preaching beyond the pulpit, they get arrested for preaching the Bible. I don't want that to happen. Of course not. But what if things going to one extreme end up awakening the church, which ends up with an outpouring of the Spirit in the society, and ends up that America has a major shift towards righteousness, and that there's repentance and a repudiation of these things, and that the next round of voting that undoes a lot of it. I mean, who knows? Is not God bigger than all of this? So that's where you can see if you're putting your trust in a person or a system or putting your trust in God, because he is much bigger than all of this. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get to some vaccine responses, let's go over to Fred in Ridgecrest, California. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad that I had the privilege to listen to your opener today, and in the context that you've put all the last couple of days' questions in, Trumpisms versus true Christianity, because I think it has morphed a little. I mean, I think your definition of Trumpism that you defined like 10 minutes ago I can unequivocally, if you poll people, they'd say it's different than Beth Moore's definition of Trumpism, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger, I think, and that's why you've kind of gotten the ire of people up by saying, oh, I agree with Beth Moore. I mean, she's embraced every social justice campaign from hashtag MeToo right up through the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
She's really gone off the deep end. And I'm a long-time listener. I know you're not there. So my one thing with the whole question of Christianity versus Trumpism, I think it's actually a false dichotomy, and mm-hmm. we're all kind of falling into it. I mean, as you pointed out earlier in your broadcast, as Christians, we have huge, huge concerns for the state of our church, for the Bride of Christ in America, and it didn't just start with Trump. It's been going on for some time now. I can remember in Bible school in the 80s, my Sunday school teacher saying, Fred, I do not see how God cannot punish this nation with the rampant idolatry mm-hmm. and paganism that yeah. I see coming. So we can't agree that it's been going in that direction. And you know, the Trumpism thing, no Christians I know really are putting their hope in Trump. I mean, I'm not an apologist for him, just like you aren't. I cringe at his tweet.
Yeah.
I cringed at the first debate. But we're talking about, and if the Lord delivers us over to evil and a Marxist society, so be it. You know, we're still going to pronounce
yeah.
the name of Jesus. But it's giving – Christians are really balking at first – basically our constitutional right to do that.
Yeah,
and they kind of see this as the last hurrah before it gets
I understand. So here's where I want to agree and then disagree, okay? The first thing is, I don't know how Beth Moore defined Trumpism, but I 100% understand that the moment I said I agreed with her tweet, even though in my article I start by saying whether she's gone soft or not is not the issue. Whether she's and I say it again at the end, but fully understand people are going to react to that and her, quote, wokeness, etc. So I don't know what her definition is, but you could be totally right there, totally right that hers is different than mine. That's number one. And therefore, by agreeing with her tweet, I was now seen as agreeing with her. Understood. Because she's a public figure and because of the amount of attention the tweet was getting, I felt I needed to address it in that context. And what I'm trying to do, my definition hasn't changed. I'm just trying to define things better so I can be of better help. The place where I would differ with you, sir, with all respect, is there is a fanatical focus on Trump. There is an unbelievable focus on Trump. And Trump is believed, and everybody else is basically a liar. And then you add in the prophecies and him being specially chosen and people saying he's the only one that can save America. That's Trumpism. And I see it personally, sir, rampant in the church. But thank you for the call. I'm sure we agree 1,000 times more than we disagree.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the broadcast. Hey, if you are watching on America's Voice, on Pluto TV, or on Dish Network, reach out to us at our website, askdrbrown.org. Get a free ebook. Whoever you're watching, whoever you're listening, get a free ebook, Seven Secrets of the Real Messiah, and some really neat info, some of my testimony, some background to our ministry emphasis. I think you'll really appreciate it. And then updates every week, latest articles, videos, resources we have available. So take a moment. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for our emails. Everyone, if you're not getting them, you're missing out. So let us be a blessing to you. And if you are able to call, 866-34-TRUTH remains the number to call. Okay, before I go back to the phones, let me approach things from a different angle, all right? Have you ever had a situation in your life where everything was against you? Maybe financial crisis, maybe social crisis, maybe physical health crisis, and you prayed like you never prayed, and you got more serious with God than you had ever gotten. And then the crisis passed, and you found yourself becoming spiritually complacent. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, now let's go a little step further. Let's say you're in ministry, and you're birthing a new ministry. You have no resources. You have no place to meet. You have no open doors for what you're doing. So you pray and you cry. What else are you going to do? You know, it's not like you're going to go to the bank and say, could you loan us $5 million? We're starting a church and we'd like to buy a building and a... Yeah, right. Sure, buddy. So what do? You pray and you cry out to God. And then sometimes you've got nothing to provide for your family. You're working hard, putting in many hours, but there's almost no money. And you pray, God, bring in money for the Lord's birthday. I'd like to have money to get, you know, little Susie a gift. And you get an extra $20 that comes in. Wonderful. So you're really dependent. Now it's 10 years later. You've got a congregation of 500 people. You've got a healthy budget. You've even got a pension for yourself and your assistant pastor and retirement funds. And maybe you're not praying with that same desperation. Maybe you're not crying out in that same way. So the challenge for us as followers of Jesus in America is when we have someone in the White House that we feel we have their ear and we feel they are responsive to our voice and we feel that they are implementing policies that are important to us, it's very easy to look to that person rather than look to God. That's one. And two, to take our foot off the pedal of prayer and fasting and crying out, and to take our pedal off the foot of reaching out with the gospel to our neighbors and communities, being disciples, making disciples, because, well, the president's doing a lot. We've got the president, we've got the Senate, we've got the House, we've got a majority in the court, Supreme Court. It's very easy to look to those things. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the one who leans on flesh and trusts in the flesh. God would always rebuke Israel for making alliances with other nations when they're in trouble. It's like, come to me. Repent of your sins and come to me and I'll fix things. Instead, you go on in your sin and you hire out some other nation to fight your battle. It's doomed to fail. So cursed is the one who trusts in flesh. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So it's a subtle thing that can happen. And it's, you know, it's better. Here, I'll give an example. It's better to have financial provision than to be on the streets dirt poor, right? And yet it's easier to put our trust in earthly things and our treasure in earthly things when we're rich versus when we're poor. So the goal is to keep our faith the same. And if God gives us provision, if God gives us favor, if God gives us people in government that are open to our cause, wonderful. But keep your focus in God. Keep your faith in God. Keep your emphasis, the thrust of your life one way. And then if someone is hostile if things go against us, we're going to go and grow and be God's people just the same. All right, to the phones. Let's go to Victoria. All right, Victoria's not there. Let's go back to the vaccine question. Would you take the vaccine if it was available to you? If so, why? If not, why not? Let's go to Janetta in Raleigh, North Carolina. What about you? Would you take the vaccine? And if you don't mind, give us a rough idea of your age.
Okay, no problem. I'm in my 40s. And when your question about would I take the vaccine, no, sir, I would not.
Yeah, tell us why, please.
I'd be happy to. I feel like it's a way to get control of you. I don't have faith in it at all. I don't feel at this point it would be safe. But the bottom line, I also feel that if you were to take it, it may cause you to catch it. I don't feel like you should be made to take a vaccine.
All right, so let me ask that. It sounds like they're two separate things, Janetta, and I'm sure the way you feel, many others feel. So there's the safety issue, and then there's the control issue. In other words, the government making you do it, or the government using this to monitor people or something like that.
That's what I feel like. It's a control.
Got it. So let's say it's time, you know, it's been going around for a while, and there are no real safety concerns. It's clear it's helping, not hurting on the safety level. Would you still not want to take it because of government overreach?
Well, I would take it based on that, but so far we haven't heard anything. We haven't been given any concrete evidence that it is safe.
Okay, so it's too early in that regard.
Exactly. And then this kind of sounds like to me, this is like the Antichrist. When he comes back, he's going to tell you if you got to have the mark of the beast. See, and sounds like this is somewhat similar to that.
Right, so the government says you have to do this, and if you don't do it, then you can't do business.
That's what the Antichrist is going to tell you.
You can't go into our store. You can't fly on a plane.
Right.
You can't go to your job.
Exactly.
Got it. Hey, Janetta.
Can I talk about something else too, sir?
Sure, go for it. You're on a roll.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm for Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Sin is rampant in this country, and I don't care who we vote for until people turn around and give their lives to Christ. I'm speaking from a personal perspective. I know what sin did in my life. Until people turn around and face that, this country is going to continue to deal with so much immorality, which is at a high accolade at this point, and so much sin. I vote, but I don't pray to Donald Trump. I pray to Jesus Christ. Donald Trump does not wake me up in the morning. If Jesus Christ does not lay his hand on me and say, get up, I will lay there and be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And till people get to that perspective in life, because this world looks to entertain us. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Everybody worship, and I'm not going to say worship, maybe I should change that word. Kobe Bryant, I like sports, I watched it, but Kobe Bryant gone, he left $500 million here. He didn't take it with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we get caught up in the things of this world, we get caught up in the things of television, and look what it's doing, especially to the young generation that's coming up now. And when you was talking about Obama, he voted for a lifestyle that is against God.
Mm-hmm.
God created man and woman, not man and man, not woman and woman, to marry. And look what that has, and I'm just using that as an example, look what it has done to this country.
Yeah,
and my point is, until we turn around to what God has ordained and to what's right with God, you know, and then he did say in the book of Revelation, near his coming, these things will be rampant. But we just need to turn around. There's no president, unless he has God's heart, is going to be able to change.
Yeah.
No president we've seen from the beginning of time has had God's heart.
Yeah,
every 4 years, the situations get worse. We got to go back to God. How can we allow the churches to be shut down? But there are so many things that remain open that's immoral.
Yeah.
Now we can't even worship.
Yeah, so Janetta, just to jump in, and I appreciate you sharing your heart, and obviously you're preaching a lot of what's in my heart as well. Look, here's the bottom line, that when you look at the real issues in America, okay, Here, let's put it like this. Your car, I know very little about automobiles, but I know the engine's important, transmission's important, all right? So the engine and transmission are failing. Oh, but there's a great special on tires. Well, your tires are run down too. You do need new tires. That's true. And the windshield wipers need to be replaced because it's hard to see when you're driving because they're not working well. So I know a place we get a good discount on that. It's like, oh, okay, that's fine, but the engine and transmission need to be fixed. Otherwise, this car is going to die. So when it comes to President, when it comes to others, they do play a role. They do have an impact. There's no question. And you mentioned President Obama's open endorsing of same-sex, quote, marriage and lighting up the White House in rainbow colors and celebrating that. And then who gets appointed to the Supreme Court by different presidents and so on. And then they're going to make decisions that are going to play into our everyday lives. Very important. But on the larger level, it's more like changing the tires or changing the windshield wipers. And the condition of the nation, the soul of the nation, the morality of the nation, who the people really are, and the state of the church, that's like the engine and the transmission. And if we would pray for that, we get so worked up over the elections. I mean, it's nonstop now. It's not even a cycle. It's continual. And it's only intensifying. If we would get that worked up in a positive prayer way, going to God, repenting of our sins, praying for the spiritual health of our nation, things would be radically different. Hey, thank you for the call and for sharing your heart freely. Let's go to Blair in Winnipeg, Manitoba. We get a perspective from Canada. What about the vaccine?
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? Thank you very much for having me on your show. Things are good up here in Canada. It's a little bit warm today. And as far as the vaccine goes, for us, are you okay? You can hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. As far as the vaccine goes here, it's really being pushed on us quite a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have, okay, so my perspective is a little bit split. I first of all look at it from the biblical view, and then I look at it from the logical view.
I tell you stay right there. The biblical view, the logical view. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break. But hang on. I also just want to ask Blair's perspective. So you get a moment to think about this because we've got a short break. Then we'll be right back. But since you have a very liberal prime minister, has that had a large effect on your nation, on the church, on Christian liberties, etc.? Or is it just it's kind of window dressing? Doesn't matter who's up there. All right, we'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. Another reminder, go to my website, askdrbrown.org. You'll find a chock full of resources, thousands of hours of free materials for you on a wide range of subjects. The three R's of our ministry: revival, revolution, redemption. Revival in the church, gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in society, redemption in Israel, seeing the Jewish people come to faith in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. So tons of resources for you there, various ways you can connect with us on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Instagram. Dr. Brown.org. Let's go back to Blair in Winnipeg, Manitoba. So you said that you have two things you're looking at when it comes to taking the vaccine, which is being heavily pushed in Canada. One is logical, the other is biblical. So go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to address what you asked on the other. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Look at that. We somehow lost Blair. I was ready for his biblical, logical answer and to find out about Trudeau and the impact he's having and so on. We somehow lost him there. Maybe we'll be able to recapture him. But somehow, Blair wasn't there when we were there. Let's go over to Patrick in Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
All right, so something has just happened where I am not hearing our guests. We'll give it one more try, and otherwise I will just talk. Let's go back to Patrick in Virginia. Okay, so you can hear me. I can't hear you. We'll just go on for a moment. Here's my counsel regarding the vaccine, is do your best to get accurate information. Dig if you have to. Go to various news sources. Don't just listen to one or another that you're used to in a little echo chamber. Read various sides of things. Do your best to research, get background information, really understand, is this safe? Are there side effects that can be negative? Does it really work? Are there other things attached to it? Okay? Do your best to find those things out. On a personal level, just my opinion, but please don't make any life-related, health-related decisions based on my opinion. Oh, if I'm talking about some spiritual subject, if I'm talking about some life and death scriptural truth, you better believe I want to give you life and death advice. You better believe I want to give you advice that you can live by, all right? And to say these things are true, these things are definite, there's no question about it. It is written, it is so. At the same time, when it comes to something like the vaccine, I just want to give you advice to think about, which is simply this. Do your research. Do your best to check and understand exactly what health risks are they not health risks, what the government is requiring, not requiring, and then make decisions accordingly, but not in a fear-based way, not in a pressure-based way. All right, let's try one more time to go to the phones and see. Blair in Winnipeg, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, don't know what happened in our system there. But I don't think it was. I don't think it was aliens, demons,
or China. Or China.
I don't think it's China either. Okay, so you're going to give your biblical and logical explanation. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So our logical explanation, I'm going to go with first of all. Right. First of all, this is still an experimental vaccine, no matter how you look at this. Right.
Okay.
It's experimental. So when we look at the Pfizer report, it's a 53-page report. We can see there were six people who died during the testing. There was Bell's palsy. There's different problems with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing, as they are putting this into the hospitals and they want to go to the healthcare workers first, suddenly now we're seeing that they don't want to give it to all of the doctors and nurses at once in case we don't get right. So, I mean, these are kind of red flags, right?
Okay.
And what you just finished saying is that we need to do our homework. Now, on the biblical aspect of this, right? And so many church leaders hate to touch this subject because the Jehovah's Witnesses hold to it. But I actually agree with the issue of blood, okay? Because it's given to us in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. Then when we really get a better understanding in Leviticus, and many people say, well, it was a Levite law, whatever. Let's see what it says in Leviticus. We go to 17, verse 9 to 11. And then we think, okay, now if that law was done away with, it wasn't done away with, it should show up in the New Testament, which it does. Because we go to Acts, the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit tells us there in chapter 15, right? And we look at verses 28 and 29, that we are to abstain from blood. Now, we hear the excuse, well, that's about eating blood.
Right.
Okay. When we go to a hospital and we're in the hospital and we can't eat or drink anything because we're sick and in the hospital, they hook an IV to us, which goes into our vein, which feeds us. We are
so in your mind, right, even though it puts you in agreement with Jehovah's Witnesses that will not have a blood transfusion, that even though the Bible is very clear about it's eating blood that's the issue, that you're saying we're ingesting it, and your argument is, okay, so you can get nutrients through an IV feed the same way you're taking blood in. Okay, so that would be your biblical view, which, tell you what,
that's part of the, not as a whole. We have Messiah telling us that we will be able to tread on serpents and scorpions, eat poison and not die. We have that as well. And we're told that we can walk on water. So where is our faith?
Here's where I would just push back, and so I can get to some other callers. We'll get to the Trudeau question another day. But I push back and say that it doesn't say in Scripture we're called to walk on water, or that we're called to drink poison as a test. And you're not saying that we should just do it. And the question would be, why have doctors? Why have nurses? Why have anything, medicine, et cetera? So the question is, how far does one go with that? But anyway, I'm asking people to weigh in, which you did, and I'm glad we reconnected. Thank you for your patience in doing so. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Deborah in Keller, Texas. How about you and the vaccine?
I would not take it.
Okay.
The reason why I would not take it is because I listened to Every Man an Answer, and Shannon Skolton, and that pastor is on there, and she said that there is aborted fetuses in this vaccine. And also...
So just give us the source of that again, Deborah, because I've gone to websites like Life News, which is one of the leading pro-life websites.
Every Man an Answer.
Okay,
he's a pastor that comes on at 5 o'clock on Bible School Radio.
Yeah. What I just encourage you to check there. So that's the big factor for you, as it would be for many Christians would feel exactly the same. That if they knew that somehow in the making of this, developing of this, aborted fetuses were involved, that we in conscience we couldn't take it. Like, oh, there's a great cure for this disease, and it comes from the bodies of Jews who were killed and frozen in World War II. You know, you say, obviously not. But just check, Deborah, check lifenews.com is one of the leading pro-life websites, militantly pro-life, anti-abortion, and search there for vaccine, because probably a week or two ago, I saw a headline saying that the main vaccines that have been approved have no connection whatsoever to aborted fetuses. So one of these stories is wrong, but I haven't researched it in sufficient depth, all right? But check that out, Deborah. But that's your biggest reason, though.
Not only is the aborted fetus, they're also making it will become to a point that would be mandated that you cannot go to the grocery store unless you get this vaccine. You can't go get gas unless you get this vaccine. You can't do anything. Right now, it's just voluntary. But with our government, if the state it's in right now, don't you think it would cross over to say, oh, guess what? We're going to make this mandatory. So if you don't take this vaccine, you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. And then another one is...
Tell you what, I apologize for jumping in, because you're on a roll and everything you're saying is important. But I just want to get to one more caller. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being patient. Carla in Durham, North Carolina, you've got literally about 30 seconds, but you just got the vaccine. Why did you choose to do that?
Are you talking to Carla?
Yeah, I'm talking to Carla. You just got right on.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
I literally just left my job, and I just got the vaccine less than 20 minutes ago, and I decided to do that because I think it's just like all the rest of the vaccines that I've taken over my life. It's to help preserve health for the community and for myself. So I think we're just really overdoing this. We're really overthinking this.
And Carla, what are you involved in healthcare work or anything? Or
I am.
Okay,
I am.
So
I work at a hospital.
Did that give you access to get it more quickly?
It did.
Got it. All right. Hey, Carla, I saw your call just with seconds left of the show. There you have another perspective. Get to the facts. Do your research. Questions of government control over each. All important things to process. Let's be responsible adults with whatever decisions we make. God bless you.